the weird thing is I first verbaled to Fordham for softball. I was about to sign the letter, but I ended up breaking my neck on that field, but not playing for them, which is very, very
Fordham's field, but you were playing for St. Joe's.
So you played your freshman year right off the rip.
Yeah, and had a kick-ass year. They were like, what is that?
Gosh.
What's messed up is I was still one of the best players in Division I.
And you were doing Roxy Blues.
Yep.
Welcome to Rise Above. In Episode 4, meet Bella, former Division I softball standout who overcame being paralyzed from a traumatic neck break, painkiller addiction, and found strength by doing the work and establishing a spiritual connection within herself. Let's uncover this incredible story of resilience.
Bella, to Rise Above.
Bella's in the house.
Bella.
Bella.
Thank you.
What an intro. Wait, all right, before we, what are the tattoos on your fingers? And pull the mic right up to your mouth.
Well, I just did this one again last night.
She has a tattoo gun.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a tattoo for me?
100%.
Oh, my gosh.
I just figured out how to use the stencil sheet on her
mom. I forgot. Yeah, you have tattoos. Yeah, she gave my mom a tattoo.
I did.
What would you do if I tattooed Kayla over Holly?
No, I think we should. Why wouldn't we?
Ooh.
Stop it. Okay, now I'm
because
really
because it's a motherfucking lock.
Okay.
No, really, though. Like $40 on Amazon. Ooh. And I did my whole leg, and
we would go viral.
If I wasn't in anything just underwear, to go viral, I would take these off. But I did some stuff.
So
I need to raise.
You have to be close to the microphone, okay?
Okay,
I don't
I'm
want
so
you to forget.
Tall that
move it
sometimes
down.
Sometimes I readjust the chair too low.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, I didn't know.
We're good.
Wait, did you raise it?
She raised it.
Oh my god!
Isn't this called Rise Above?
Oh my.
Oh, game changer.
We are really dumb.
You are so dumb.
Oh my
so
god.
Dumb.
I didn't know we could do
you
that.
You are so dumb.
Yeah, I did those dots too.
How many tattoos do you have?
Well, if you count each one,
how
I tried
many
to make it look like blood
have?
Was on that one. And then I was like, okay, I gotta stop.
Wait,
I'm
wait.
Like doing drips.
Where is this tattoo gun you speak of?
It's underneath a thing that I found on the side of the road that's very fuzzy, and I use it for split squats.
I love you.
Where do you... Wait.
She's not kidding.
It's in my house. Is that where
you're yes. No, but like, yeah, okay, but like, where
no,
do you live?
No, we wanted that specific.
No, we want to know, like, where do you live? Like, where is this tattoo? That's where I was going with
yes.
that.
Yes.
I live in another place.
Come closer to the mic.
I live.
Just pull the mic out to you.
In another place. I want to know why it's my hips tight. It's me.
So,
hi, I'm the problem, it's me.
Thank you.
And
you're so tall.
I know. I feel really.
Oh my god. I think your chair goes higher than mine.
I feel like I rose above.
It's so different without it.
I really.
Okay.
You can take those
off.
Now
I look so big compared to you.
Well, I can't tell what I like. Okay.
You can take those off. That's just to make sure you're speaking into the mic.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
See, I went too low.
Too low.
Okay.
Shorty,
okay,
get
so
low.
Anyways, so you're not from here. Where are you from originally, my Bella Boo?
I'm from Boston.
Boston.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Yankees suck.
Bostonite. Wait, you don't like the Yanks?
Nobody likes the fucking Yankees.
Are you a Cleveland Indians fan?
I'm a Red Sox fan.
Francisco Lindor was a very
for
very
like the minute you lived in Boston.
I lived in Boston for 10 years.
That's why you get it.
And
that's
also,
why you should get along.
Exactly.
Also, they are the greatest sports city in the world.
City of champions
in the world.
Mm-hmm.
In the universe.
Mm-hmm. You have feelings about this, don't you, Kevin?
Well, he's from New York.
Well, all right, so
that's where I broke my neck.
Oh my god.
Well, that's one way to get into it.
So anyways, the Bronx, not a good place to be if you want your neck just
broken
kidding. Broken snap,
or not
snap,
broken
snap snap.
Okay, you're from Boston.
Yes, I'm from Boston.
Did you go tell well, us really, wait, how did you grow up? What was it like? Did you are you a Southie?
No, not even a little.
No.
So I would say actually Worcester. I say I'm from Worcester mostly. It's like the farmy city.
It's a 508.
Yeah, exactly.
I know a 508.
How do you know it's a 508?
He just knows.
He knows every. No,
or
he knows so many people. It's
no,
not
actually not.
Really?
It was just years ago in my early Manhattan days. I used to date a girl with a 508.
Was she nuts? Was she fucking nuts?
Was she the best thing you've ever seen?
Did she run down to the packy and grab your mother chocolate crulla?
Really, though? Was she from Boston, Boston? Because I'm not from Boston, Boston.
She, I think Wooster. Is it Wooster?
So I hated the way you said that.
Worcester.
So it's Wooster. Tough. I'm not blaming you.
She said, so I hate the way you said that.
I did. Hated it. But it's Worcester.
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 It looks like Worcester without the H.
Okay.
Worcestershire.
No, it's a great place. It's like very farmy, like, you know, if people know like Sutton and Grafton, it's like very historical too. Like shit went
like pilgrims
down where we're from. Yeah. Like there's a lot of blood in the soil. And you feel that. So
How many, so he doesn't know this. How many, you grew up in a really big family?
Yes, six of us. All from the same two.
Six kids.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents still married.
Still married.
Still going
with
strong.
Each other. Yep.
Strong Italian roots, right?
My mother, yes. Very Italian. My father.
My mother.
Very English.
So oh, it's quite. Man. He just couldn't get that. He just fell in love with that Italian, that love,
yes.
That like beauty, huh?
Yes. He was so used to the old Spam and mashed potatoes. That's what they ate.
And then he got some Italian food in him, and he was like,
mm-hmm.
Six kids, here
yep.
we go.
Yeah, I'll do anything. Yeah.
Oh my
so we all came out a bunch of question marks.
Your poor father. What's the breakup? Boys, girls, how many?
There's four girls and two boys.
Four girls, two boys. Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm number five. I got the best spot in the lineup.
You're number five.
Mm-hmm.
Youngest
spot
is the best.
Lineup. Want to know why? Because in baseball.
I don't know. Is it?
Listen,
no, it's
if you're
not.
Thinking about it in
it's not.
In baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was always a leadoff hitter in softball, and I was always like, oh, I'd love to be like the five hitter. Because you're right after cleanup, you know, like, well, you did something great. Or if they don't, then you're there and you're just like, I'm trying to get the ball in play. Mm. And if you do, you're a hero.
Mm. And expectations are low.
So low.
So you wanted expectations to be low?
Well, I was more so talking about the fact that my parents were always very worried about, you know, one and two. Poor Mikey. Number me and Mikey, three and five. Are those prime numbers?
Three. One is like our first go around. Two is gets. I feel like the. And then three, they're still trying to figure it out. So
mm-hmm.
it's like.
Yeah, and then yeah. So I think what I mean by clean by the person after the cleanup hitter is, it's just like Bella's okay. Like, she's, you know, she has these siblings above, one below to keep her, you know, getting mature and responsible. But all of these to be learning from and just to not, you know, suck as much in all the categories, which I still ended up doing, which is great.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's interesting. I feel like with the first child, it's like, oh, my God, like, they're not sleeping 8 hours or 10 hours. Like,
is that
oh
how you feel?
And then
how
now,
you felt?
Well, I mean, you hear it a lot from parents. Uh-huh. I mean, I only have one child. How
right.
I felt? No, my mom, I love you. You're neurotic.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, my parents are. And my dad, you're going to listen. Dad, I love you, too.
You're neurotic?
You like to control things.
Mm.
But anyways, it is what it is. I turned out okay.
Yeah. I feel like any family, like all the parents that I'm friends with, my favorite parents are the ones with 3-plus kids. Because
mm-hmm.
they just, like, they're like everything is like water off a duck's back. They
oh,
just
yeah.
like rolling, baby. They
mm-hmm.
are vibing. They are good.
Mm-hmm.
Like a window could be smashed.
Mm-hmm.
A child's finger could be bleeding. Like,
yep.
and they're just like
mm-hmm.
zen. Like, and
right?
I'm like, oh, I crave that.
Xanax could be eaten off the floor by a baby.
1,000%.
And they're just like, let him sleep
but
it off.
Then I always felt bad for my older siblings.
Why did you feel bad for your older
just
sibling?
Just gonna go at him.
Wait, hold, watch this.
It was like preset. I got
dude, it. That's really fucking. That's the first time he's ever pulled that shit out.
I learned,
we're gonna trade seats one day.
I learned how to do like the.
I actually don't want that responsibility.
Sounds.
Yeah, no, you might get a little carried away with
I would get so carried
yeah.
away.
Mm.
Someone would be like, say one thing, I'd be like,
no,
1,000%.
And
wait,
I let
so
God
why
in
do
my
you
life.
Feel bad for your older siblings? Sorry. We have just fucked this whole thing up right off the roof.
We're going great.
Okay. No, this is great.
Tell us.
We no more listeners, but whatever. We're going.
No, are you kidding me?
We have 3 in Germany.
You know, I have like 300 questions I haven't answered from my first one. We'll talk about that later.
I'm so excited.
I know. The laptop thing.
Bella has a podcast too.
I do.
Everyone.
I really do.
Shout a plug. Plug it.
But I was just talking to Kevin about, I need a new laptop.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyways, I feel bad for the first two because that's when you're a parent. And you're, like, trying to do everything right and mm-hmm. perfect. Mm-hmm. And then by the time, like, the fourth or maybe even the third comes out, it's just, like, whatever.
I give up.
Yeah. So they were a lot more lenient, like, with us kids. So I'm always like, oh, thanks for taking it.
Taking them.
I always
tell
my two older siblings, I'm like, thank you.
Well, you have to think, too, when your parents have kids and they have so, like, how young were your parents when they had their first child?
22.
Yeah. So they're still growing up, you know?
Exactly.
Like, my mom had me when she was 21.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
wow.
Dude, at 21, there's no way I could keep a human alive.
I could barely
keep me alive.
I was just going to say, I couldn't even walk when I was 21. Like, literally. Literally. That's why I probably shouldn't have had kids.
Speaking of, okay, so grew up in a house of 6.
Yes.
Family, parents still together, loving family.
Love each
other. Little bit crazy, a lot of chaos.
A lot of crazy, yeah.
A lot of crazy. Mm. And then what happens? You grow up. You were homeschooled, right?
Homeschooled hard.
All six were homeschooled?
Yes, except then when they, so we're a lot of athletes in the family. Very competitive atmosphere.
Who's the best one?
Me. Hands down.
I just had to clear that up.
No, hands down. It's not even fun like doing family games anymore because I just know.
Oh, I can't wait for them to hear this.
But
I'm sending this directly to your family.
Oh no!
Chat.
And you know, I don't know what each and every one of them will go.
She's right.
Yeah, except for Maria. Maria's yeah. So I'm one of 6. Very competitive. We were homeschooled, in and out like of the because my mom and dad. We played sports, so it's like that's kind of our ride. My mm-hmm. parents owned a Shell gas station in Westboro, Massachusetts, on Lyman Street.
The borough.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like it was homeschooling was more so like not really what it is like today, kind of becoming more so like don't tell my kids what to do. It was kind of that, but also it was convenient for my parents and work because we would do our homeroom time.
Mm-hmm.
In the storage room of the gas station, we'd flip over the little crates that we'd put the Pepsi and stuff in and sit on them and learn. And then there was programs we'd go into after they'd pick us up at the gas station, we were off. So it was just more so like easier. My parents wanted us close to them because they're always working.
Mm.
Did it make us weird? Yes. Made us very weird. Did it make us smart? No.
Stop it, Bella.
But,
I'm about to homeschool
but
my kids.
Did it. You didn't let me
Stop
finish.
It.
Are you really?
You didn't let me finish.
Yeah, dude.
Why?
Because the third thing, it made me intelligent. It allowed me to
She learned how to think.
Yes, that's what it is.
Wasn't taught what to think. She learned
Wait. You just said, okay, yes. Did it make you intelligent? Uh-huh. Did it make you smarter?
Smart.
And you said no.
Because smart is like the plastic boob version of, like, some, like, you know, hard work and boobs.
Okay, I understand the difference between intelligent and smart, but for our listeners, break that down. Like, why did you excel in the intelligent?
Because smart is, like, every doctor that thank God for smart people, because I wouldn't be alive.
Mm-hmm.
But also, screw the smart people, because they're smart is being able to remember information given to you. I think intelligence is what you've learned on your own and have it, you know it so well that it's weaved into you, then you give it to others just by being. That's intellect, I think.
Street smart.
But I could be wrong.
Street
smart?
Not
a fact. Street smart is one way to put it.
I just feel like
creative thinking.
Nah, that's
outside
too,
of the box?
That's too Disney for me.
Keeping an open mind.
Basically, like, if it were to, if you could survive in the wild, that's what intellect is.
I love that. Yeah. I think that when you go to school and you have a spelling test every Friday and you memorize all the spelling words, But, like, do you, like you said, do you actually know those words? Have you, like, ingested them, chewed on them, like, rolled around with them, marinated in them, and then, okay, now it's a part of your, it's a part of, it's a piece of your brain. Whereas, like, oh, that was so sexy.
It's all, yeah.
Whereas, like, I don't, it's, like, not really, I don't know. I'm homeschooling my kids for a lot of different reasons, but. One reason is, for me, I think, like, there is such a culture of, like, the rat race mentality and, like, on to the next, on to the next, on to the next. We got to go to this point. We got to do that. We gotta sign up for this. If you miss this deadline, you do. And I have very intentionally spent the last year of my life slowing the fuck down and getting really present. And really, like, now is all I have. And I kind of want to teach my kids the beauty of that. Like, I want my kids to know that, like, there is no rush. All is well.
That's what my mom, yeah.
And, like, I'm very acutely aware that I only have so much time left with my kids. Like, Kyla's 11 this month. And, dude, she's going to, like, be gone before I know it. And I don't want to be tied down to, like, we can't travel, you know, dude, like, you're just, like, you're tied down, and I want learning to be fun for them. I want her to be engaged. Like, she hates math, but if we make math about fucking chickens, she'll do math all day, you know? Like, anyways, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that you're homeschooled. I think you're one of the smartest people I know.
Oh, that's a stretch.
And, no, you are, but you're one of the biggest thinkers. Like, you're very good at being introspective. And, like, getting quiet and able to, like, take a situation and
rise above it.
Rise above it, yes. But also, like, yeah. Like, rise above, but even just, like, you can take a situation, you can sit in it. You're not super reactive. Mm-mm. And you can come back with, like, something that I would never even think of, you know?
Well, I appreciate that, Kayla.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anyhow.
I like how you talked about, like, there's no rush.
There is no rush.
Right? We get caught up in the rat race. So my ex is from the EU. She's from Finland.
His ex? Can I say it?
Sure.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Dude, she's like a princess of Finland.
No, she won Miss World Miss Finland, and then represented Finland.
That's cool.
In the Miss World competition.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. She's a very nice girl, very grounded girl.
You have to be
very
chill. Yeah.
A great mother to my daughter. Yeah. She's great. But something I learned when I would go there, I'd been there probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 times-ish, 12 times.
To Finland.
Mm-hmm. And I would meet her friends. And my mentality versus her, and I'm talking about, like, her girlfriend's boyfriends or husbands. Like, I would hang out with the guys and, like, we'd go sit in the sauna and chill. And, like, how I would be talking and the things that I valued. And now I grew up in that rat race. I went to school. I went to college, played sports, played football in college. Okay, you graduated. Now it's time to move to Manhattan and get a corporate job. Wow. Do your internships the summers before you graduate.
Oh, yeah.
Like the whole nine. And I'm going to be very honest. And this, you know, confirms and backs up, you know, your feelings towards homeschooling and Kayla's plan. But I was very unhappy. I was depressed. I was and so I don't know if you know this about, I'm sober and I had a wicked painkiller addiction.
I was addicted to the opiates in college.
Me too. And when I graduated,
I can't wait for us to talk about this.
I was so miserable working in the city. And I just couldn't tell anyone either. Like, I don't like this job because it was, like, my identity.
Because it's fucking, because you're not feeding your soul. Like, like, our society is built to, like, destroy the soul. Consume, consume, consume. That will make you happy. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, my spirit doesn't give a fuck if I consume something. Like, it just needs me to sit with it and be well, you know? Like, take care of myself.
Yep. It's and you just, like, something small that you mentioned when you and I were talking before we started here, you said, I am just uploading, you have your podcast, you're saying, I'm just uploading it and just going with it.
Yeah.
Me, I get anxiety, like, if it's not perfect, like, I get anxiety. Yeah, I'm like, no, we got to delay the release. Like,
I do the same thing.
Listen, there is, you want to make sure the product you're putting out there is quality, but, like, I'm just, like, caught up in, like, that mentality sometimes. I've built awareness to understand and identify, and I take a step back. You know, when I was talking to you about the first studio we were at, and you're like, dude, calm down. Patience. It'll work itself out. Also, like, it'll be fine. And then, of course, a week later, I'm like, wow, she was right.
What, now, if you don't mind me asking, what did you have siblings?
I did. I had two older brothers. I'm the youngest of three boys.
Okay. And yeah, I know you. Okay, cool.
I know you.
You have two siblings.
I have a younger sister and a younger brother.
Yeah, so that's
you're the oldest. Mm-hmm. I thought you were a middle child.
Mm. No.
See, that's what's interesting. I was trying to see if that person. That's what I do with, like, people all the time.
He's
like,
the baby.
I find people so interesting. That's another thing. I like.
No, this is one of my favorite qualities about Bella. She's a watcher.
I love it because once you understand, and, like, I don't mean to get into all, like, the faith stuff, but I will
We welcome that here.
Well,
we want you to.
I'm like, oh, wow. Well, really, when it's belief is important, whether and I don't care what people believe, if anything, like, I want to hear it because I care so much. You know what I mean? And my point is, like, God loves, like, some person who we may find smelly and maybe a little bit difficult and maybe, like, maybe even dangerous. Like, God loves that person just as much as who you are. And when you think you're great or good or whatever, I just, I love it. So my point is that's why I was interested in asking what sibling, because I'm, you know, but your youngest, your oldest, didn't work, see?
Any well, that's how we don't mean facts. Didn't work.
That's look how at I us, we're on rise above. We hit a like, bottom. We bottomed out at one point.
How I, that's how I figure out my facts.
I keep finding bottoms. just when I think I'm done with the bottoms,
you just get the shovel.
I'm like,
out.
God,
we
it,
are
I
not
did
successful.
It again.
That's life. That's
we're all
life.
On a healing, growing journey.
No, we are. We really are. And speaking of. Am I really far away?
Yeah, you are.
You can
just,
hear. Oh, yeah, because you have the headphone on.
Yeah, you can just, like, pull it.
But I also don't want to be the guy that's like,
hello.
Yeah, like the pilot.
No, it's not. It sounds great when. Do you want to stand?
Oh, honestly? Like, yeah.
Do you do your podcast standing up?
Yes, I do.
I knew it.
It's a very tall desk and I stand. Is this good?
I could see that.
How about I just take it in like I'm singing?
No, I so.
Like, yeah, but like not. There you go. Is that better?
What does that remind you of?
I really want to just belt once. I want to come in. I want to make it early one day and just belt one song.
I don't know why you haven't.
You can because
I'm never early.
You can do it right now. Oh, and then at the end, she's like, "I gotta run. Bella's got the kids, and I can't leave her there."
I do. I'm always like, "I gotta go." Bye.
Yeah, I am. I know. I have way too much fun.
So with Bella is also my. I don't even like my partner. Not my. So
they're girlfriend and
we're
girlfriend.
We're not dating, no.
And girlfriend with Michelle. There's three of them. They're
we're
all partners.
Me,
they're
Michelle
one family.
No, it does feel like you said it best.
Well, I
though.
Can't say you're my babysitter because that's like
I'm
such
like
a
nanny. I am the I'm nanny McFizzle.
She's the au pair.
I would
she's
say
my au pair.
No. Yeah. You are the GM.
No, definitely.
Absolutely
not
fucking kid. Not. I am the G I am the CEO of
no,
my life.
No,
see,
no,
this
no,
is what we get invited
to. You're the founder. That over there is the big boss, right
no,
there.
Oh, my God. That's so cute that you think that. Some days I wish she would be a big boss.
Do you know what I feel like?
No,
she's
I don't.
The big boss.
You know what I feel like? I feel like...
Bella watches my kids. That's
I
what I was trying to say.
I do. And her kids are wonderful and so intelligent. So, yeah.
And you're such a light in their lives.
Oh,
and you are, like... It's been such a blessing for me... Like, because obviously I have a fight, and when I have a fight, I have to train twice a day, so I leave my kids at night, and to leave them with someone who I know, first of all, is just, like, an amazing human being, and also loves on my kids, you know? Like, there's a difference between, like, leaving them with someone who, like, you know, they're going to be fed, they're going to be, like, okay, but she's, like, constantly pouring into them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, love and truth and like just beauty and she's like on the floor playing with them, rolling around in the emu poop with them, you know? So it's a beautiful thing, and I'm so grateful for you.
The fashion show you did with all of them and my daughter that day.
I was literally like, you were in it. I was the cameraman.
You were the GM. You were the GM.
She is.
I was.
She's like the
She's the boss.
I love kids.
She's what I she's the liaison. Like, yeah, for my children, she's the liaison. Like, she'll come to me like, but okay, so can we do this?
Yeah.
And I'm like asking Bella, no, it's 7:45. Yeah. Like, they have to go to sleep.
I'm like, can you please just paint this? Like,
oh, you're an advocate for the
no,
kids.
No, like, I am a kid.
She is.
She's the boss of the kids.
She's but the boss of the kids.
She's the big boss of the
I'm
kids.
I'm like the kid
she's
on
the big kid.
I'm the girl in the playground with the pigtails eating the lollipop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, like, also encouraging them, like, hey, look at this stick.
Oh, 1,000%.
Let's set it on fire.
No, yeah. That's what we did the other day.
I know.
Yeah.
I came home from practice.
I'm going to get arrested recently.
Wait.
No, I approve. I'm the parent. Yeah. I came home from practice.
It's private property.
And they had a fire going. And we do a lot of fires. We built a fire pit for my birthday this year, last year. And I came home and they had a fire going and they were like doing an obstacle course slash like they were warriors,
obstacle
like course. Native warriors. And so they would like run through the fire and like,
yeah,
like embody this like power from like
the smoke.
I'm brave or I'm strong. Like it was like positive affirmations, but like with like it was so fuck. I just sat in the hammock and watched. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, that was a beautiful
positive affirm. I like that.
That's, no, it was.
That's just like channeling.
That's what
your
kids need. That's what we need. That's what adults need. That's
100%.
Why I love kids.
But that's what I mean when I say I love that she's pouring into them. Because like I make them do the same shit, but like it's not fun when mom does it.
Oh,
you know,
mom's never. Yeah.
Like it's not cool. Because I'm mom and I'm like, hey,
that's
like, what
point.
Do you love about you? And they're like, ugh.
You're talking to the girl who grew up with the most beautiful, funny, just charming mother. Mm-hmm. You could really, you couldn't even find her on a movie. She's so, just seemed, she is a people's people. And growing up, my whole life, all my friends were like, "Let's like, what's your mom do? Like, let's go do this." Let's go. And I'm just like,
I grew
no.
up with the same mom. I know.
So I know it. I know. And now I'm the person that
it breaks my heart. Honestly, sometimes it's like a little. It's a little bit of an ego thing. Oh. Not. It's not a little
no,
bit. It's
it
an
is.
Ego thing for me where I'm like,
1,000%.
Like.
You're cooler than your mom? Like,
no, my kids, no, my
oh,
ego
you with your kids.
And
got it,
Bella,
got it.
Where I'm like, God, they think she's so fun, but guess what? She's my fucking friend for a reason, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
oh, no,
because I'm
didn't.
Fun too.
I love that.
Do you get it? Like,
oh,
in
yeah.
my head,
oh, yeah.
I'm like,
uh-huh.
And it is, I will say, in my defense, it is very hard to be a single parent and be the disciplinarian and the nurturer. And still have space for fun.
100%.
Like, it's damn near impossible. And it's some, and that's why, 100%. Again, that's why I'm so grateful that I have people like Bella who, because I don't have the bandwidth to be all of them all the time. Oh. And she steps up in such a big way. And she's so, like I said, she's so great with them. But anyways, enough about my fucking
kids. There are some weeks where I literally say, I'm like, I'm the bad guy this week. You're the good. So I know.
No, we're like, she's like a, she's a co-parent.
Together. We're a good team.
Yeah, we are a good team.
We work well together.
It's a good team.
All right. So you are one of six. You grow up in the Boston area. You go to school. You were homeschooled. You started playing sports.
Yes.
So how you progressed obviously through
family,
middle school. Well,
she was
your
wicked,
own middle school.
Wicked good.
Wicked
kid.
Good. And you know what? Talk about, and you know, I'm going to take, you know, the Old Testament and bring it into the New Testament we're going to right now because I like what you said about, like, that's why homeschooling's good is you get this confidence in you that you're a person and you can do things and make mistakes and it's okay. It wasn't until I went to public school, and one of the biggest reasons I went to public school is sports. I was so sick of going to, like, practice and stuff and being like, I don't know anyone. But, I mean, I didn't care, but it was also, like, embarrassing when you're, like, really good, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why it felt embarrassing, but it was embarrassing.
Self-conscious,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, who the heck is this? And they all want to be your friend, but then it's overwhelming. And it was hard to balance. So, long story long, I just tagged along my sister Maria, soccer player, fantastic soccer player. And what's funny is, you know, we didn't have all the money in the world at all. so my dad's like, sorry, you can't play like club soccer. Like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't right now. And I didn't care. Like, whatever. Go to Maria's stuff. Get seen by her coaches. But she's older. So talk about just being yourself and just literally just having the confidence to hop in with like 17-year-olds and you're 10. And it's like, mm-hmm. that's the kind of confidence that I know I wouldn't have had if I went to public school, because mm-hmm. I know my personality. Like, if anything, I think they would have been very opposite.
So you were a 10-year-old standing out amongst 17.
17-year-olds, yeah. Because my sister was just everything. She was so fast and strong and quick, and her feet just it was like watching a paintbrush on paper with the soccer ball. It was so cool. And just being like, well, yeah, I can do that. And yeah, just play, just by playing. But that's not even what I played in college. I played softball.
When did you start softball?
I started playing like competitive fast pitch the summer going to my junior of high school. So I was like,
you were like a late bloomer.
I verbally committed.
Oh my gosh, that's so good to know.
I verbaled to UMass Amherst when I was in eighth grade for soccer. Like, gave the verbal. You know, they give the verbals now, which is the biggest scam in the universe for kids. But yeah, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll play as a hometown kid, sure. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even going through puberty. My point is life happens, and yeah, I just got playing softball in high school just as a runner.
So then what happened?
And then they taught me how to bunt, and then I was filthy, like filthy good.
What's your 40 time?
I don't know my 40 time, but from home to first, 2.7 seconds. In softball.
Damn!
I know. No, so fast that I
looked that up. Like, what? How? Like, what are fast pros doing?
I can't wait till we get big enough to have one of those guys. I'm like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the guys. Look that up.
We could, like, fake it, and I'll just do it on the side. Like, thanks, Rob.
Just put on a mustache.
Like Joe Rogan has, the fucking dude.
Rob, give me the fastest time from home to first.
No, really. Well, I can tell you, actually.
What is it?
Well, from a lefty, because you know baseball, you know the diamond. If you're a lefty, you can get there faster to first.
Of course.
Especially if you're slapping, which is like you're already running.
Yeah.
So you should be able to get there in like 2.6 seconds.
Okay.
But I was on the right side.
You were a righty doing it.
I was a hunk of meat. Like, it just...
Dude, I really would... I got to show him a picture of you.
Yeah.
Dude, she was as big as me.
It.
She weighed the same...
No
same
way!
I was 153. My last weighing, I was 153. Was it the heaviest I was? Yeah, I think it was the heaviest. But that's what saved my neck from breaking. But it also broke my neck, which is interesting.
It is interesting.
So interesting. Because that's life.
So
yeah, we go.
I'm like trying to digest. Did you see that on my face?
You glitch and then get back your network back together.
I was trying to digest all of those things you just said to me, and I spazzed out.
We just overwhelmed him.
He just overheat. He was like,
I wear everything on my face.
No, I do too usually.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That's why I have like all these fucking creases. Yeah.
That's
anyway,
okay.
You have a baby face. What are you talking about?
Right here. Look at this puppy. I got to get this thing Botoxed. Well, it's too late
Botox
now.
Botox makes people look.
Why do you think that I'm wearing a hat today? Okay, you have such nice skin.
So
what are you talking about? Anyways.
Okay, so 11th grade, do you want to take the jacket off? Do you want me to turn the air up?
No, I just got a whiff
day
of
myself. I didn't wear a t-shirt.
BO's good for you, though.
You got to get the fuck out.
Yes, it recycles.
You guys don't smell.
Oh, yes, okay, yeah.
Do you wear deodorant? Are you one of those?
I dabble with some stuff.
What is some stuff?
She puts like
oils.
That's it. So you don't use deodorant.
Seaweed.
You put seaweed.
I'm sorry, what? How come you're just telling me this now?
Oh,
you put seaweed.
You buy
under
me
your
the
arms?
Lavender stuff.
Oh, because I go in the ocean and get the seaweed that comes up with the storms.
She really
and
does.
They have
She's
little
not
balls.
Fucking around right
they
now.
Have little balls on the end that people pay so much for in salons.
She's not fucking
and I
around.
Scrub them on my pits. Because I think the little bugs in there really get at everything. And then obviously you rinse off.
Oh, my God. Are you a hippie? You're a hippie.
Oh, my God.
No.
Did you see her tattoos?
Yeah, I go, nah.
What are you?
She's got like a whole house full of hanging plants.
You know what? I am a child of God.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
Kevin.
Amen.
Kevin.
Okay, so fucking stay on course.
Wait,
okay.
So 11th grade, you start playing
you
softball.
You start playing. You're wicked
coach,
fast.
Yeah, the soccer, because I was obviously the soccer player.
Yeah.
And... obviously lived up to like the athlete that mm-hmm. I was supposed to be in high school, the freshman coming, and then the softball coach at my school was like, hey, we need base runners. Like, we just, can you run? I was like, yeah, I know wiffle ball. And I played, like, baseball when I was little. Like, yeah, I'll mess around. And literally from that moment, I just started playing softball. And then when I started to actually get rid of soccer, which was a huge decision when I was so little, I can remember it was, like, the end of the world mm-hmm. for me. Because my dad's like, we can't pay for college. Like, so you're either going to work at the gas station or work somewhere where you can, or pay for your own college or get a scholarship. So I'm like, sports, let's do it. So basically, I had to pick one when you're good at something too. But I don't know. Now I listen to Patrick Mahomes and stuff, and he was a dual athlete. I don't know. I think it can be done. University of Maine, shout out to that coach. She gave me a double scholarship, like soccer and softball. But I didn't want to do it. It's too much. Like, I got to focus on one craft, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, because one craft has so many aspects to it. And softball and soccer don't quite merge well. Like, one is on the front foot, one's on the back foot. It's interesting. So, yeah, I end up doing that and then ended up being kind of good. And then all these coaches just started coming to this small little town in Upton, like, to watch me play.
Division I colleges, universities, yes, start which coming, was scouting.
Hysterical, because I don't know. I didn't, till this day, I still find it funny too, because I'm like, did I care? No. Nope, not even a little. I was just like always excited to get home and eat my mom's food.
Were you unaware of just like the magnitude of it? Was that what it was? You were just going through it, taking action, doing the next thing.
I didn't know until I remember after a game my junior year of softball. Now I'm like in it and I'm getting recruited. And there's this girl, Shannon Smith, who is, you know, this huge player in the town next over. She was going to Kentucky. She pitched at Kentucky. Mm. Shannon Smith, we were frenemies. And
who was better?
Love that.
Well, she was a great pitcher. She only pitched again. Oh, that game was in the paper. Anyways.
I think that every girl has a frenemy like that.
You have to.
Oh, yeah.
You have to. Mm-hmm. I think,
my rabbit. I call them my rabbit.
I think we would have been frenemies in another
life. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. We kind of are.
We are. I'm like, actually, I hate you. Just kidding. No, really, though. I think that it wasn't until, like, I saw a parent bawling their eyes out because of a catch I made. Bawling.
Their child hit the ball and you made the
catch? It was, I don't even know who, he wasn't on our team because that would have, I definitely
It was
remember.
Just like a thing of beauty.
I caught this foul ball. And it just didn't make sense. A lot of my catches didn't make sense. It was like, because it looked like a AI thing, like a ball to glove instead of glove to ball.
Yeah. It found you.
Yes. And I remember seeing that and then my teammates talking about it, like, oh my gosh. But then I was like, oh, whoa, that's crazy. And it was a guy. So, like, yeah.
That he was crying. And then it kind of hit you then?
Yes. And then in college, my freshman year.
Where did you go?
I went to St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia, which is weird, Atlantic 10 Conference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was behind a car the other day, actually, after I was leaving your house, mm-hmm. and there was a car in front of me, St. Joseph's University. How weird is that?
So weird.
The Hawk will never die. Did you know that their mascot was voted number one mascot because he never stops flapping his wings?
Huh. What is it, like an eagle or
a hawk?
A hawk.
Hawk will never die. That was
we've seen
joke.
A lot of hawks lately too, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we have a ton.
So many hawks.
Yeah.
So you get a full scholarship to St. Joe's.
Yep. Bert, just bring your toothbrush.
Okay. So after 11th grade, all of these scouts hear about you. Mm-hmm. You play the first season of softball. Senior year now, were you lined up before you started?
I signed my national letter of intent November of 2012.
And that was the fall of your senior year?
Yes.
And then did they say you can play your senior season or no?
Oh, yeah. I raked my senior season.
Because
usually
they'll say, we don't want you to get hurt.
Oh, I know. Well, trust me. It was funny. It's interesting because when you have so like those many options, you really get to like see what your character is. Mm-hmm. What you pick is the reflection of you, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was my first question was, am I going to play? I want to play. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to be one of those good athletes that never get a spot because you're hoarding all the good ones. Mm. And it actually wasn't until Tim Walton, he's the Gators coach, UF. He's the one that connected me with Terry Adams from St. Joe's. She's not with them anymore. and was like, she needs a leadoff hitter, second base, center fielder. Mm. You will be, like, I wanted, like, to hear, because I didn't care.
You just wanted to play ball?
I just wanted to play. Mm. That's all I wanted to do was play. So I moved into college with three trash bags.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually?
Yeah.
What was in there? Clothes.
A lamp was in one of them, and it punctured through. It was a mess.
Oh, my God.
Did
I
it
love
break,
that.
Like, when you were going up the stairs? 1,000%. Like, everyone fears.
Not only that, but I was late to the freshman orientation, 2 days late, because my sister decided to get married on move-in day. Just kidding, Ashley. But, yeah,
she's
so we had
not.
A drive. Yeah, it was awful. We had a drive from the Berkshires in Massachusetts to Philly, City Ave. And my dad dropped me off, and my dear, sweet best friend, Jill, was underneath the rubble in the car. You just wanted to come for the ride.
So, okay, let me ask you this, because I had this experience my freshman year. I played football in college my freshman year. I remember showing up to a Division I program and being like, they were all twice my size.
It's different.
They were all three times faster than I was. And I went from, like, being one of the better ones, like, one of the best ones on my high school team.
Right,
and then
the
I go to
fish.
This program, and they're like, you're redshirted your first year. And I'm like, what, me?
It's...
No.
It's, put it this way.
Unless you started, I don't know.
She's like, well, actually, I had the exact opposite experience.
No, I did, because I narrowed it down to, like, I wanted to play. The weird thing is I first verbaled to Fordham for softball. I was about to sign the letter, but yeah, I broke my neck there. I ended up breaking my neck on that field, but not playing for them, which is very, very
Fordham's field, but you were playing for St. Joe's.
Yeah.
Was that freshman year?
Sophomore year.
Are you just
So you played your freshman year right off the rip.
Yeah, and had a kick-ass year. They were like, what is that?
What position did you play?
Center field. I know. Got it. I caught a fuzz.
Okay, so you go in your freshman year, you start. How crazy? Wait, let me ask you a question, because I feel like a lot of people. I was talking about this with my brother the other day. Nobody prepares you for college at 18 years old. So, like,
also, you were homeschooled. So, can we talk about, like,
yeah,
exactly.
I had a huge culture shock. I went upstate New York, and I'm from Long Island, like Jersey Shore, Long Island, Meathead Central.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, rolling up to college, and everyone's like, no, you're not it. Like,
oh my gosh.
But St. Joe's is full of those.
But you did the opposite.
Well, like, the athlete thing, it's different. Well, put it this way, because I got to see my two older sisters. Ashley, my oldest sister, the girl is one of the best, and people laugh, but one of the top cheerleaders that the colleges have ever seen. She was a ring chaser. She went to Columbus State, Stephen F. Austin. She actually was in the movie Bring It On, like in the background. Like,
no way.
Then she ended up, she judged for all these national competitions, and then she cheered for the Celtics for 3 years.
Does she want to be a guest on our show?
Ashley, she would.
I'm always recruiting. No, I'm recruiting.
You should, as you
She's
should be.
Married.
As you should be.
I'm like, not hitting on her. I'm asking because this is such an interesting story.
Well, it is very interesting, but.
She's married, Kevin. Like,
no,
come on.
Listen.
Like,
I'm not going to lie to you. Some of the guests he's brought in, I've been like, I gotta move to West Palm.
Oh. I'm like, actually,
they're all like tall,
I do
good looking, like very handsome men. And I'm like, what do they feed you boys up there? Like, what's happening?
Even Kevin's interested. Look at him, he's blushing.
I'm sweating now just thinking about it.
It got hot in here.
It did.
We were turning up a little bit.
We were.
But you know what's funny? On the way over here, I'm like, wait a minute. Our first three guests were all my friends. Are my friends all degenerates?
Oh, man.
No, like, but they're all like, it is. Interesting to me. They're all like, I swear to God, they're all like these like successful, good looking, like literally him.
Yeah.
Like I was like, wait.
But single.
No, but we're
No, you guys, those are the boys. But I was like, I was impressed with your flock. Like, you know, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah,
I was impressed. I wasn't
good.
Like, I didn't think they were degenerates.
I didn't even bring in, like, the real degenerates. They're all back in New York.
What's a degenerate? All I'm thinking about is Ellen DeGeneres.
So me.
Degenerate.
I have four core friends. There's five of us. And we're all
God,
best
we
friends.
We have four core friends,
we
too.
And we all are, we're all doing great now. like we somehow just pulled through. And but you talk to us when we're 18, 19, 20. All of us have been in the back of a cop car.
Who wasn't?
All of us have had some kind of addiction, whether it's gambling, drugs, alcohol.
Sign of the times, I say.
You all rose above.
We all should have died.
Yeah.
Like, we should not be alive right now. Some of the shit.
But that's the most, I think, intellectual people now, is the people who should have died.
I mean, I tell some people, like, things that I did as a child, and they were like, what?
Yeah, blows their hair back.
Like, are you out of your mind?
I've done things as of last week that would have you...
No, she's not wrong.
...sleepless.
No, she's not
kidding.
Wrong.
She's like, who?
She's also like,
Kayla?
You have to...
We're gonna light the hair.
No, the possum that had rabies that I thought had rabies, and I beat it with a shovel, and it was awful.
I don't remember this. God. Is this at the house?
Yes. No, not at yours. At mine.
I saw you running with ostriches?
Yeah, the emus.
My emus.
They help me stretch my hamstrings when I run. It's a long
I know.
Story.
Everyone thinks that she has emus now. I'm like, I need to start posting more
1,000%
emu content.
And I'll tag Kayla and like make her name wicked small and like throw it off.
She didn't even tag me in the last one. Don't think I didn't notice.
I didn't.
Don't think I didn't notice. Okay. You're like, it went from, look at Kayla's cool emus to, look at me with Kayla's cool emus to, look at my cool emus.
These are now my emus.
I got your back for a second. You just followed our Instagram.
I'm really bad at social media.
I'm like, bro.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't know.
You just followed us now? Like,
you know what?
I thought I had been following it the whole time.
Like cool kids over there.
Yeah,
no. I'm sorry I'm training twice a day and have two kids and also a podcast and four friends that are fucking super demanding and also a fucking Noah's Ark at my house. I don't have time to be on social.
Come on.
You're not.
A little bit.
You're you guys are. No, no. Okay. We.
Takes
I digress.
A lot to love all of us, I think.
I like have a lot of love to give, so that's fine.
Yeah, you know what? You're built. You're built for us.
Yeah, you're good.
What I was going to ask you, we were talking about, was it a big culture shock? Like, how did you adjust to college life? Like,
I adjusted terribly. First of all, I was so upset. But now as an adult, I feel stupid for even saying it. So I'll say it because it's okay. We grew up on our own food. Any meat we would get was from a friend. So then when I got to college, my stomach it felt like it was like ripped out, shaken up, thrown into a blender, and then thrown back into my colon. Like, it was awful. So the first 3 months of college, that was a shock enough. Once my body adjusted to the crap, it's interesting. Then I started to be crap, which I think food is thought. And that's when I killed it freshman year. Culture shock as in, like, I'm taking taxis, so I'm getting paid, like, every month because I'm on full scholarship just for food and books and whatever. I didn't know you had to get books. I just pocketed the money. So I was just saving.
Oh, Kevin had books.
You need books?
Kevin had this whole fucking scam in college. He was stealing books and selling them and pocketing the cash.
You should have.
I had a huge resentment against my school. Good. And I met one of the bookstore managers.
Good.
He showed me where they stored all the books, and they didn't do inventory. I was half off. All
Where'd
athletes.
You go to school?
Albany.
Okay.
Student athletes, 50% off, big textbooks only.
Meanwhile, I got like convicted when I stole a pack of gum once on accident because I put it in my pocket.
Oh my gosh. You know, I was banned from Kohl's. You know the store Kohl's? I was banned from there for 3 years.
Loved Kohl's.
Were you a little klepto? What were you? You were a klepto.
I think I yelled.
I could see it in your eyes.
Wait, what's a klepto?
You're a thief.
Yeah, you took
when you pocket.
I
Are you a love bomber? You're a love bomber.
I just love so much.
Is she a love bomber?
No. I didn't like
She's actually like kind of a recluse.
What does that mean? You guys are using big words this round.
Well, you know, when you're not homeschooled, this is what happens. So, you know,
Shit out of those words.
When you're a scholar, this is what happens.
Meanwhile, I didn't. Only one of us didn't go to college here.
But what will make you intelligent is tell me what it means.
Recluse is like someone who prefers.
I know how to use the words. I really don't know what they mean.
See, that's smart.
He's wicked. No, he's wicked smart.
I am not smart.
No, smart.
Yes,
not,
you are.
If you guys haven't picked up the memo, smart's not good.
I know.
No, but he is smart. That's and
why I'm
intelligent.
Not smart.
No, he's smart.
You're
too.
Intelligent.
No, right, enough about me.
Smelligent.
Smelligent.
She went to Harvard.
I did not go to Harvard.
Yes,
I took three classes.
They accepted her into Harvard to do a class.
Well, because I had two gold medals. No, I like. Oh no, I had one at the time. I faked my way in. I'll tell that.
What is that? Because I'm curious.
You know
what?
What?
I can't say it on air.
Say it.
She's smart. I can't. I have no
idea. What did you say? Just say it.
I'll tell you when you're older. But wow,
it looked like you just said macaroni and cheese.
I did.
Because she smells like cheese.
Yeah, I just said macaroni and cheese, exactly.
All right, go ahead.
Your belly took a beating.
Yes.
You
so I,
didn't buy
year,
books.
Freshman year was great. Like, my point is, freshman year was great. Sophomore year, and I was, you know when, like, the good kid comes back, right?
Can I ask a question really quick?
Wow.
When the good kid comes
did
back.
Did you drink before you went to college?
A little bit.
And did you drink more when you went to college? Like, did you party?
Yeah.
Like, I've never been to college,
okay,
but you hear stories.
So.
You were into Adderall. I could see it.
Yes, and Percocets. That's what
Perks.
Got me after I blew my knee apart.
2012?
2014.
So you were doing the blues.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Give me the year and let me look at the purse and I'll tell you exactly
but
what
listen,
they were doing.
This is what's messed up.
Oh, my gosh.
What's messed up is I was still one of the best players in Division I.
And you were doing Roxy Blues.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 30s? Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I'm like, no.
Listeners, earmuffs.
Yeah. But my point is
I'm
that
so
was
lost.
The culture shock is me, first of all, I guess, being like on my own and in Philly, like ripped out of a small town. That was fun. Got a lot of tattoos.
Did you have tattoos before you went?
Yes.
Okay.
I got a few illegals on me.
Did your parents know?
Yes, because prom. Dang it. I thought I didn't think of it.
This dress is so cute. I'm
my mom was like, ah! Yeah. I was like 14. That's so weird.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
But like I said, number five, it's a sweet spot. You can do those things.
You were 14 when you got your
first tattoo from Brendan Dean, Dino.
Who's this?
He's one of my brother's best friends. To this day, he's like one of our good friends.
Did you have a crush on him?
No. I almost did, but then he started dating my friend Elise, and they're great.
And then you fell in love with Elise.
And then me and Elise are married right now, actually. No, I'm just kidding. They just had a kid, and they're so cute. No, Elise was really helpful in my recovery, actually. Yeah, wow, very involved. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, that was my first tattoo. 14.
So freshman year, you go to school, you crush it. You're in sophomore.
Did you
year.
Crush it in the classroom too, or
no.
just in?
No.
No.
Oh
I'm
no.
I'm just wondering.
Do you know how I got prescribed Adderall?
No.
Well, here's a little. I love the NCAA, by the way. Have to say this. Love the NCAA. They're great. But
oh my god,
I love the. Did I make that clear? Because I do. But. Because I was failing classes, because I didn't know you had to go.
Oh, God bless her.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what a syllabus was. Oh. It was a whole thing. I thought it was an instrument. But my teammates were super helpful because they knew what they were getting. Like, I remember the coach introduced me. Looking back at that, it was like introducing like a foreign exchange student.
Like a wild animal.
No, they called me the creature. That was my nickname from the very beginning, is the creature. And, yeah, I was failing so bad that they... we're like, well, we need an excuse for you failing, basically. Looking back at it, that's what it was.
ADHD.
Mm-hmm. So I had to do this, the whole thing. And so then I had to get in all these hours. It was just so stupid. But in the end, yeah, that's like, it's funny how, like, they can know you're on this. But it's just the negligence that you would wish college sports, like, wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So
is
they're
that your
like...
foot?
It's my boot. If you want me to put my foot in it, I can.
No. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Well, that's it. What else you want to
know? So, okay. So, your grades aren't good. You find a way. So, manipulation. You find a way. Did you really have ADHD? Did you really need the
Everybody
medication?
Everybody does.
I know, but do you think you needed the medication? Was that the reason for you failing?
I must say, my grades to get a lot better.
Once you started taking it. But were you motivated by the medication to start going to college? What was kind of...
You know, that's actually a great question, Kevin. That's
it's an upper.
It is.
I mean, cocaine made me do a lot of things that I didn't want to do.
But I also remember being prescribed the Adderall and being like, well, why not just prescribe cocaine? Like, I remember being like, well, that's, well, because it's not as, it's a, can make you a little crazy. At least Adderall's controlled. But like, I can just remember thinking like, especially after I got injured, which I'm going to get to right now. I ended up breaking my neck sophomore year. And it was like all over the place. It was crazy. It was a freak accident. And I think with like the caliber of player you are, that, and that's why I took my story and like didn't run with it. I stood still and spread it amongst everyone who doesn't get like any help or support because they aren't some sort of athlete of some sort or pretty. That's the sad thing too. So yeah, like after that happened, I've looked back and realized so much about college. And the, like you said, like it's manipulative and they'll know that I blew my knee out right before I broke my neck. I dove into home plate, was safe against Lehigh, the catcher. Blew my entire kneecap up. I have to fix it soon because it's just so bad. But I rehabbed it. I got deep kneecap grooves. If you guys want to Google kneecap grooves, I got deep ones.
Deep ones. She's got deep
ones.
I'm blessed.
But that's when you started taking pain
pills? That's when I started taking the painkillers.
Really quick, just for the listeners too. So this time frame, you're in your sophomore year when you break your neck. And how exactly do you break your neck? It was after your knee.
And I blew that the second fall ball game, my knee. And I almost redshirted.
Okay, and then you broke your neck after your knee.
Yes.
How did you break your neck?
Diving into second base.
Okay.
Which I've done a million
times.
Head first,
you dive into second base mostly head first, yeah.
But I still do it. Like, I will still do it because it's so, it doesn't happen.
Do you remember the day? Can we
like
talk about it a little bit?
Yeah.
So like what was going on in your life at that moment, like at that time? You're recovering from a
knee
torn
injury,
ACL.
I'm addicted to perks, but aware of it. The coaches knew, my teammates knew.
You had just told your dad, right?
I had just told my parents. Like, it was, and like, you know me, Kayla and Kevin, you get it. Like, I'm very much like, it's hard for me to like hide something. Like, it's very hard for me, especially like when it's my life. And I was like, I just have to tell you guys, like, this is a problem. And it was almost interesting to me. It was almost interesting to me because I was so, I mean, the drugs never, I didn't even have Tylenol, you know? And so I told every, like, my mom, my dad, well, the coaches knew. They knew something was up because I was a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
And
makes you manic.
Yeah, I showed up to practice in a taxi once, and they were like, that's not like her. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. But I was there. Mm. And so my point is I think that it was after, when did I start remembering? I remember an Australian woman.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the EMT at the hospital. That's like my vivid memory and then on for a few days and then it gets wishy-washy. I had a vertebral brain aneurysm too, which like that's why things are weird, but at least it bursts, so that's good. But yeah, I just remember an Australian lady.
So you, okay.
Dove into second, hit Allie.
So
Breeden.
You were at a game at Fordham.
Yep, I got on base. Was on first. Do you want me to tell you how like the story goes, like from friends and stuff? I could tell you that.
You don't remember any of it?
The actual thing happening? No. I do remember having a dream of me with a white wall behind me eating chocolate pudding, which is weird.
That was obviously when you were in the hospital.
No, it was a prediction, I think, or a prof. It was a weird thing, because that's what's weird is I ate pudding for the next year.
Oh.
In a white room.
Interesting.
But not in my uniform.
Mm.
Okay, so you hurt yourself. Did you start taking the perks after the knee or
after the knee?
And then
no,
that,
so this
you started
is where it gets
hooked
crazy,
up.
Dude.
Yeah.
All right, let me let you take it over. Go ahead. Sorry.
So, yeah, when I say like my muscle both saved me and broke me, also like the Percocet thing too as well. Because imagine that involved in that injury too when it happened, and I just remember my armpit was burning when I woke up at second base and my armpit was burning and I knew that like I wasn't aware of like my body, which like I'm very aware of my body, and I couldn't get up by myself, so I'm like, oh, it's a stinger. And then from there everything just kind of fades. I got to the hospital. They were like, don't move her. My neck was literally hanging on by a thread. And you know you can just take a human hair and touch a spinal cord and you're a quadriplegic, which is crazy. So I broke my C5, some of my C6. They had to fuse me together, 4, 5, 6. Spinal cord swelling had to go down. I couldn't move. So it was a lot. My father walked into that New York Presbyterian Hospital because it happened in the Bronx. Mm. And the first thing out of his mouth, and I don't blame him because I was just going through all these issues, and he was just getting fed up, and he was, you know, knew I was better than that. And yeah, he told the surgeon and all the nurses, he said, "She's not on any medicine, is she?" "Well, she's on a morphine drip." He went, "Nope." I had to do that whole thing, the whole thing, till this day on Tylenol. And it was those worst moments where I remembered, I learned what abuse is, like to be an abuser. I learned that. Absolutely. I learned the beauty of medicine, and why it's good. But I also learned that it is pharmakia, and pharmakia means sorcery, mm-hmm. and it's witchcraft. And it's nothing against witchcraft. It's cool, but it's not good to really intermingle your brain with that. It should be an activity you do, not ingest.
Did you resent your father for stepping in and saying no to the morphine? Because I had my first shoulder surgery, my mom tried to step in.
Oh, really?
Because someone else in extended family had an issue with painkillers, and she knew, and she stepped in. And I was like, motherfucker.
Literally.
Like, yeah.
That's such a good question. Because no, I was embarrassed. Because my dad it's like I think being at college, the culture shock is I was able to hide from him, you know, and do all this. And it's just same crazy Bella, but using your gifts for all the wrong things, the wrong things. Mm-hmm. So when he came in saying that, it was almost like I understood it. But they did ask me after him and my mom left, like, do you feel safe at home? Stuff. Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't remember that. But yeah, it was definitely for he knew best. And when you're paralyzed.
Yeah. So also, by the way, to our listeners, you were paralyzed.
Yes. And
you broke your neck and you were paralyzed.
Yes.
You couldn't move.
And that's why I got into science and all of these neuro things, because once I learned I needed a miracle. It's what C.S. Lewis talks about. It's a miracle is experienced by the senses. It's nothing physical here. Even though you can be physically damaged, if you can believe in miracles, it's experienced by the senses.
Wow. Yeah.
So how long were you paralyzed? Can you walk us through the recovery and this journey?
And I want to hear.
Dude, you're literally sitting here right now. You play softball with my daughter every day.
And I smoke.
You do really well.
I do. No,
the 11 and 5 year old.
11 and 5. Okay, her 11 and 5 year old play really rough. Okay, I'm like, okay, they stiff arm. But yeah, no, that's why I believe in a creator God. I think that everybody goes through something in their life where they have to completely all of a sudden realize that everything you ever thought made you who you are no longer does. Sorry, figure it out. And it's like, what? All I know is it was like Reese's peanut butter cups. I used to love Reese's. Talk about addiction. Blonde. I always had bleach blonde hair. And I wore a lot of ribbons in my hair, which is funny.
Oh.
I got to start doing that again. I'm going to start doing that again.
Break out the ribbons.
Did you really?
Tiny little ribs. Just little ones. I actually, yeah.
I never saw you as a ribbon girl.
I know, but I loved it. I loved it. And muscle. I was just always a good, decent chunk of muscle moving around. And then when those three are away, I couldn't eat Reese's. I was paralyzed and A, didn't have the appetite. 2, you can't when you can't move, blood clots. I wasn't bleach blonde anymore. My roots grew out in the hospital. And I didn't even care. And then, the muscle just completely dripped off.
One thing that I love that gives me so much gratitude just by being in your presence is because of this injury, the zest you have for life and the you're just your cup runneth over, you know, you're just Kayla, I we're walking today, you know? And like, so you'll say that and you'll say it to my kids and you'll say, because like everyone, I think that we all have a tendency to kind of like feel like dwell in the misery a little bit. I know I can get to that point where I dwell in the misery, or I like have a victim mentality sometimes, or like the woe is me bullshit. And that's one of my favorite things about you is like, I look at you and I'm like, dude, like, all is well. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, we're walking, we're breathing, we're alive, we're here.
You're very grateful. You're very grateful. The true times
almost
that I've
to
met
a fault,
you,
though.
You seem very grateful.
It's almost to a fault. Can you be grateful to a fault?
No.
I don't know.
No. Well, you can. It can be detrimental at some point. Well,
because I will literally like, spend an extra 5 minutes doing a pattern that I just realized. Because I'm still, basically what is still paralyzed, BTW, is ankle down. I should say shin, but if I say it, then it will be, and I don't want it to be. Mm. So it's like
her toes.
Oh, you manifest, huh?
Oh, big manifester. 100%.
You look like a manifester.
You look like a manifester.
What is happening?
I want to hear. So we're trying. Unbelievable.
You look like a man.
You look like a man who festers. I want to get into, so you get out, your father says that, you go back to the painkillers eventually.
Nope.
No, mm-mm. That was it. Okay, so then I want to dive into, right, so our society, I think, or at least I'm sober, I'm in recovery. My stint, my thing was painkillers. It was Roxy's, Oxy's, any opiate.
I like my Perkies, yeah.
Yeah, and for me, that wouldn't have stopped me. And I'm going to bring this full circle in 1 second. I literally had to I had to be dragged to a rehab against my own will. Mm-hmm. Like jails, institutions, and death, they say. Death obviously didn't happen. So jails and institutions. Mm-hmm. Like I had to hit, and the bottom for me is really bad. Mm-hmm. You have this different approach. You don't do Percocets today.
I haven't touched one since April 18th, 2015.
But God literally paralyzed you.
That's what I say.
But that wouldn't have stopped me. That would not have.
How do you know?
Because
you've never been paralyzed.
Can I say something,
though? It wouldn't have. So I want to understand your approach. And you talk a lot about
you'll get it.
A higher power, a God, faith. Manifesting. So I'm open-minded. I want our listeners to hear that it's listen, for me, I go to a program. That program works for me. It works for a lot of people. But there are other ways people get sober. And I'm
1,000%.
So I want to hear about that.
No,
that
I love that. And I worked at the NCAA with the whole drug thing, by the way, after. So I get it. Trust me. Mm-hmm. The thing is, so you don't think I fucking tried to get them. Of course I did. I was like, I get a spinal cord injury. Until I realized that wasn't helping me walk again, like me asking or trying to do that, it wasn't helping me wipe my own ass again. It wasn't helping me be able to just fill up a glass of water for my mom. Like, that's when I started to get real sick of it. Literally sick of it. Going through withdrawals. While recovering from a spinal cord injury is not as uncommon as you think. Because, like, my friend Stefan, he's one of my good friends. He, like, a lot of people are on drugs when they do have a spinal cord injury. Hmm. So that was a thing at the rehab facility I was in. And that was awful. That was awful. Like, the withdrawals. And then also
So was that, like, your rock bottom?
100%. I didn't want any of my family to come in. It was a whole thing. I was like, just, I don't want to. I wanted to die. I wanted to die. It was awful. And then that wasn't until I'm like, why am I talking? I was annoying myself talking in my head, but we all do it. Like, it's so funny to me. Sorry. I giggle because
it's that voice.
But what is it? It's not responding to me. It's already talking because it was responding. It was something a little bit before what I always thought I knew.
Mine's always negative. Is yours negative? And it's coming
it
up
used
with.
To be. Ba-
it's the devil on my shoulder. Yes. That's what mine is. Kayla's like, what the fuck?
No, I'm loving it.
It's the devil.
No, because these are the. Yes. So what you don't understand is these are the conversations that we have in my kitchen at 8:13 when the kids are both asleep, and like we literally just sit here and we talk about God and life and this, and so like I'm enjoying watching this.
Yes. No, but I like that you say that because. You know, I had a dream, and dreams are important. I don't know if you get weird dreams, especially like recovering from opiates. My dreams got crazy. One of my first dreams off of them when I was paralyzed was a woman in a red dress, a blonde woman in a red dress, and all of the shadows of my siblings. It was weird. I like knew it was all of my siblings, but it was a shadow. And this woman in a red dress was walking towards them. And I remember being like, why aren't I with them? Like, and I was like trying to run there. And she turned around and it was the devil. Mm. And I can't even tell you what that looked like. And when I woke up to go and.
Dude, that's so.
I couldn't move when I woke
scary.
Up because I was paralyzed.
Fuck.
So that's when you asked, like, the perks. When I say, like, you know, God will. I mean, he can do anything he wants. Damage the right people, sacrifice the right people just to talk to you. You know what I mean? So you don't have to go through the physical thing. Because I know for damn sure if somebody who is as, oh, she gets it, oh, he gets it, as me, but roles were reversed, I'd be like, I want to listen to that. Mm. And it's basically the fact that whatever it is, whether it's drugs, whether it's a person, a place, a thing, a memory, if you are bound to that, like that's what the devil loves, because he that can be taken away in a second. Read the book of Job. God allowed Job to be taken of all of his material things, but he said, you can't touch his soul. And the devil said, well, I bet that he'll give his soul to me after I take all of his things. And God said, okay, do it. So then they like did. And then at the end, Job was like, no, I still. And then the devil was pissed because that set the precedent, the gene that was all in us from now on. That, you know, sorry, can't touch the soul.
When did you stop listening to that voice? And when did you notice that that voice was no, that impulsive voice? Because that's, I here and there, I act on it still to this day.
Me too. I almost,
Me too. We all do.
But that's,
there's no perfect people.
And that's why I want the God man, like the God man, the one that claimed to walk around in the flesh. That's why I choose him. I am always open to hear other things. 100%, but what I know is a miracle is experienced by the senses. And I will say that until I die, because when you are an athlete and you need to work on something, or I want to shave my time down, or I want to get out of the box quicker, I'm not exploding up, whatever it is, you can work on it and it will get better, especially the kind of athlete that I know I was, am. And like, with that injury, it's like, no, there's nothing you can do. You need a miracle.
So for our listeners, and I have experience with this, so I know exactly what you're saying. You have to take action in order for something to
But what
change.
If you can't even take action? You can't move.
But you said work on your time, or like work towards it, practice, get better, like coming out of the box quicker. Like, I think it's very important to highlight that, you know, miracle doesn't just happen because you let God in, or you let a higher a power greater than yourself in. You need to take the action too.
I would agree with that. If
but sometimes the action is surrender. Like, let me just pause you right here and say that sometimes the action is surrender. Like, I think that's what you two are butting heads over a little bit, where it's like, absolutely, you have to take action, but sometimes that means like
to do less.
Yeah,
I would say that, and I say that too, because if you really want to talk about it, I started thinking about what is that voice, right? I'm still talking to myself, but what is that voice? Then I said, oh, well, that's God. Like, really, I'm laying there in Spalding, room 608, just like talking in my own head because I can't stand to look at my right arm. And I'm like, so if that's a thing, then there's a designer. Okay. Ooh, if there's a designer, whoever designed baseball, or whoever designed, you know, the greatest athlete and all of the, I want to know how to do that. How do I walk again? How do I do it? Because if you made everything God, then let's do it. So I do agree with you. You do need to take some action in your head. But I agree with you, Kayla, too. It's the action is surrender and then manifest, like what you said before. I don't even know what manifest means.
I mean, I think it's very similar to like, first you realize that like your life is unmanageable, right?
Yes.
Like first you realize like, oh shit, I'm fucked. That's so true. I can't walk.
Yeah.
And once you realize that, you say, oh shit, God, I need you.
Uh-huh.
And then like open then you get to work. Yeah.
You keep an open mind. It's honesty, open mindedness, and then willingness to do willingness. So to take that mm-hmm. action. So it's honesty, humility. And taking, I'm like using recovery talk right
no,
now.
But
taking
that's that first no, step. But I mean, that's like, what it is.
But I think that that's why recovery is such a beautiful thing and such, like, I call it healing, recovery, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But when you really get down to like the brass nuts of anybody's story of rising above or overcoming something, like, those elements are all there.
Can I tell you?
Every time. Yeah, of course.
And this is what's so interesting. This is why someone, like, when you look at the science, you want to talk about Harvard.
Tell me. Tell me, baby.
They Harvard. They did a study. Okay? Harvard Law.
Oh, love Harvard Law.
They did a study.
Oh, my God.
When you meditate for at least 30 minutes a day, they did it on like 60 people for over the course of 2 years, because I remember reading it in 2017, which was 2 years after, and I was like, oh my God, symbolic. It started when I got hurt. You know, those things you do in your head, mm-hmm. which is good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coincidence or miracle, that's what I say. So my point is when you look at the study, it when you meditate, think, they said sing, silence for 30 minutes at least, it's all of a sudden your spinal cord fluid, gray matter, all of a sudden just gets bloop, 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 bloop. It starts to bubble up from literally just thinking about the Most High.
Damn, see, I told y'all I needed fucking quiet. You see what I mean? This is what I'm talking about. It's science.
It's science. So when you look at it from a scientific point of view, it's we can see, oh, humans usually who recover from this, this, or that usually take the path of this, this, and that. Oh, well, you ever think that science and true facts from a creator, let's not call it religion, God forbid, we can't because they wrecked it, but a true creator God, he's the ultimate scientist, and maybe I'd listen to him over me trying to figure out how to move a pinky again.
Where'd you learn that? You didn't go to no Harvard.
I
self-reliance versus God-reliance, right? Like 100%. Self-reliance where it's like, I'm going to will this into existence. Like I can only imagine. I spend a great deal of time, Bella, thinking about how I would be if I had been in your shoes.
It's crazy.
Like I do.
No, and I like
it. And I know that that's the reason you came into my life, right? Because I think that, but I spend a lot of time thinking about, dude, you always talk about like you're gonna do this, you're gonna do like you're I have a very big ego and I get real self-reliant.
Mm. Oh, and that's interesting.
So that's interesting. When I see someone with your story, like you're a great athlete, I'm a great athlete. Like, dude,
I'm a great athlete.
Oh, Kevin's a great athlete. But like
sorry guys.
There's the way he said it.
I
some of the videos he sent me.
Really?
I'll have to show you sometime.
We could frizz sometime.
Which one?
I don't know. When are you doing like the splits with your butthole out?
I like a good butthole split.
The old butthole split. I sent you the butthole split.
You did.
The kicks.
Hey, like literally like pants. The first week that I started talking to you, I'm pretty sure.
I'll play frisbee with you.
Anyways, back to what I was
That's
trying to
right.
say.
Right, I sent you the butthole split. Sorry, go ahead.
The butthole split.
Both of our moms watch this show.
I love you.
The roller, the foam roller that vibrates at the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right, we're not saying
no,
that online.
No, 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 no. I'm sweating again.
You guys got to let me in on that.
Oh, my God. So I spend a lot of time trying to quiet the ego or inside of me and be less self-reliant. So I do spend a lot of time kind of thinking about what would happen if it all went away.
Mm-hmm.
Who would I be if tomorrow I wasn't Kayla Harrison, UFC fighter, Kayla Harrison, Olympic
Weird
champion,
to think
Kayla,
about.
Kayla Harrison. Like, what would, Weird. Who would I be if I was fucking just stuck here like this right now? And like, would I be able to be okay?
And be you.
Would I be well?
Would you be you?
Would I still be me?
Yeah, you would.
I believe that now. But there was a time in my life when, fuck no, I wouldn't.
Right, right,
I would,
right.
I probably would have killed myself. Yeah. You know, like.
No, that's in the cards for a lot of people. And I know a lot of spinal cord injury people. I know a lot of just athletes who are hard on themselves. I know a wide range of people who aren't here anymore because of that. And it's.
Your identity was this top-notch athlete. You
her identity was her blob of meat versus her.
Yes. I'm telling you, Kevin, I'll show you.
That's incredible.
I'm going to find it while you talk.
That's a rise above story. Like your transition mm-hmm. into reality. So you never played softball again at St. Joe's after that?
No.
And
she couldn't
walk.
So what? Okay. So like, what was that like? What was the mindset? Did you feel less than? Did you? Feel,
oh, of course.
Did you go through? Did you go to therapy? Like, what happened?
Yeah, I rehabbed every. So I lived in a rehab facility for 3 months after it happened. So it happened in April. I got out in actually 2 months, June. Then I had to go back to Philly to finish school, but I was also rehabbing there. Because I needed constant rehab. I was very toned up in my right wrist, and that was very painful. So there was a lot of therapy and stuff to do with that.
Oh, so you had to go through physical therapy for everything, because obviously the nerves and
yes.
the neck, and it went all into your hands,
yes.
and you're okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I broke the neck, but
my
wrist and fingers were all curled up.
Oh,
My bicep actually was overly toned, like I couldn't go the opposite, like use my tricep muscle, and then my whole.
How long were you paralyzed?
I mean, I want to say like 3 months, but like walking eight
months before you could walk.
Before I could walk with a yeah.
So okay,
yeah.
Now
8 months.
You 8 months
with assistance
oh,
after
yeah.
8 months.
Oh,
but
I needed
like
stability, yeah. For sure. Yeah. But like actually walking, it wasn't until I came down here to Barwis in Deerfield Beach. It's a neurological reengineering program. They basically believe in what I kind of discovered on this journey of, you know, how do I be again? And it doesn't have to be just movement. Oh, yeah. Look at that thing. Look at that chunk.
That's her.
Whoa.
That's her.
And the lowest I weighed was 89 pounds after my injury. Isn't that crazy?
Whoa.
Are you going to put it on?
Yeah, I'll show it on the camera. I'll get it
You'll
edited
find it.
In.
Okay, yeah. Edited
wow,
it.
Wow, you were
yeah.
like jacked.
So that both helped me and broke my neck, because when it split, and it's like cutting an apple in half and having two pillows on the side of it. It's like, okay, well, the apple's not going to completely split and fall because it's supported. That's, yeah, if God trained me for anything, it was to literally protect myself for
How
it.
Tall are you?
5'3" and a half. After my neck surgery, honestly, 5'3". But when
what
I
were you before then?
5'1" and a half.
Oh, you got taller.
Oh, for sure. They stretched me out, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, okay. I want to talk a little bit about, I ask all of the listeners, not all the listeners, all the guests, like, you clearly have had an amazing journey. You've been through a shit ton. You've lived so much life in the short amount that you've been on this earth.
Yeah.
I have things every day that I have to do in order to be spiritually fit, mm-hmm. in order to be the best, to keep growing towards the best version of me. Do you have things that you, like, what are your habits?
This is going to sound weird. I always try to make myself laugh in the mirror.
Mm, I love that.
Every
oh
morning?
My God,
I was just doing it. Right before I got here, because I was trying to clap my thighs together, but I couldn't do it because my knees kept touching, and I was like, caught myself trying to do it, but like my knees were touching, yeah. and I started dying. I looked crazy.
Wait, so
I looked crazy.
You by yourself making
yes
your
gotta
thighs,
make them clap.
You gotta make them clap.
Yeah, I was just trying to
you're
do
just
my.
Like, I wonder if I can clap.
No,
my...
well, I do it that often. I,
right,
because sometimes I can get. I don't know if it's like my body posture, but usually food never went in between.
Yeah.
Before my injury, since being thinner, it's awful. You lose so much food.
Thigh gap.
Yes, and the
oh,
thigh
so
gap.
Oh, so they go right to your thighs?
No, right through the thighs. So I want mine to touch.
She's making a joke, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I got it.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, okay.
I'm like, I was?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I know. My point is talking in the mirror, making myself laugh,
mm-hmm.
and journaling is a big thing mm-hmm. for
Inventory.
Me.
Inventory.
Yes, mm-hmm. and also just people I've met in one day, like... I get lunch now with people I've met at Walmart. Like,
are you going to write about me tonight in your journal?
You have no idea.
Wait, so you do this? You do the writing every day?
You do? I wouldn't say every. I'm not like a hardo.
The thigh clapping.
You make yourself laugh.
I make myself laugh every day. Just sometimes I'll look at myself really quick if I oh my gosh, you guys are gonna, this is like, I've never said this out loud.
Say it.
Like, before I'm leaving for something, and she knows I struggle with being late, and like, I'll like be running out, and then I will rip open the door, be like, dogs don't run out, run up to the mirror and go, and wave at myself.
I love that.
Dumb.
Oh my God, I love that.
But then I'm peeing my pants laughing. All the way to the car, just being.
Would you say that you have a good relationship with you?
Yes, and that's what being
I love that.
Paralyzed, really, like for like, I sat down myself. I started to like. I texted you something the other day. Like, it's so good to hang out with yourself. Like, like you need yourself. You need yourself.
You have to love yourself before you can do anything. Before you can love someone else. Before you can be happy. So, with people with dating, like people are out there dating and they don't even love themselves and they're trying to fill the void with someone else. And then it turns into this narcissistic
100%
like
preach Kevin
trauma bonding.
Preach Kevin.
And
you
no, but it's the truth.
No, you're right.
And like, that's so let me ask you this then. Do you love yourself today?
I love myself a lot every day.
Did you love yourself before the neck injury?
I loved my muscles.
So
I loved my power. I loved feeling like
that was an ego love.
Yeah.
Yes, but I didn't know it. But it's crazy how I genuinely didn't know
it. No, it's subconscious. Listen, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Like,
it's weird.
That part of you takes over. And it drives the bus until something happens and you're like, oh shit.
All I know is the first thing I really got upset about, and the last thing I'll say is the fact that nobody asked me to help them anymore move heavy things.
After
after my injury, I was always the go-to.
I ask you all the time.
I know
to move
Kayla
shit.
Does. She's like,
I'm like, can you pick up? She's like, a bag of emo food.
She's like, it's so,
I'm so
heavy,
tired.
And she knows it makes me feel good, and I love that about you.
I didn't know it made you feel good. I'm just actually
okay.
Too
good.
Fucking
well, it
tired
doesn't
to
make
move
me. She's like, I actually no, but things like that are. That's what I realized, and that's what made me not love myself. Is because like, I'm useless now for people. But then when I realized I can literally make somebody run just with my mouth staying in the same place with joy, that sounds more efficient with the given circumstance.
You became very efficient at using your gifts for good.
It took so much though. Like you said, it takes a lot.
So I know a lot of people who I know, well, I wouldn't say a lot, I know people and it works for them who are California sober. That means they don't drink, they don't do drugs, however they smoke weed. Do you smoke every day, and how does that help you?
Love weed. I'd grow it on my head if I could.
Yep.
I probably could.
Yeah.
I've never touched an opiate. I just learned the other day, like, what another opiate was, like, in me and I live with two people, like, in the cabinet. I was like, what's this? This is a great example. And got to know what it was, and it's, I Googled it, and it's an opiate, and I, what?
Kratom?
Nope.
Opana.
It's codeine.
Fentanyl.
Codeine.
Codeine 3. Tylenol 3s.
Okay.
Codeine.
No.
He's like, bippity boppity boopity.
I
want to
know what it is.
But my point is,
what do you got? No, I'm just kidding.
But you want to add, but I'm telling you the truth is, what's the first thing in all of that work and all of that?
Oh, yeah.
And what's the first thing in my head is, well, does it Canada? But why? You have 100 million other things to be doing, thinking about, getting done. It's like, so that's where my brain goes now, but that doesn't take over.
Manifest.
Yes.
Into something greater.
But my point is like, it's all, that's always going to be there. But once you get addicted to the feeling of knowing you're safe when you're dying, nobody thinks about dying. And that's the problem. Dying is the most realest thing. They act like it's going for a jog.
So I have a friend, my buddy John. He experienced
near death experience.
Yeah, he went into a coma.
Amazing.
And from drugs.
Mm.
And he got sober after that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I go to meetings. He doesn't. It works for him.
Yeah.
Like,
have you ever asked what he experienced?
I'm like, dude,
anything?
What the fuck are you? I'm like jealous, man.
But what did
like,
he experience? Ask. That's why God puts these
near
people
death.
In their life.
He was at the gates. Like,
that's not good enough.
I know. I've never had that.
You know what
deep,
God told
deep,
me?
Deep combo
you know what God
him.
Told me? I'm not just gonna give it to you. How about use the brain that I designed to help the puppet move again?
Yeah.
This is plumbing. Plumbing and electrical. We're talking about.
Yeah.
The nerves in all your pipes. That's the body. That's how it works. If you.
It just doesn't make, for me though, it just does. I mean, I never had a near-death experience, but
right.
for me, like, I was an addict through and through, like, hard. And, like, I hated myself that much. I was not comfortable with myself. I wasn't secure with myself. We were talking about this last episode. I would be in, like, I don't know, like, battling someone for the starting position, and I couldn't go up against someone because I was in fear of failure. Therefore, I would self-sabotage.
That's the most
and
human,
just like
that's the most
fake
human
an
thing.
Injury.
But
or
that's
like,
the most human thing.
Yeah. But like even with relationships, I'd be like, I got to find a way. I got to give her a reason to break up with me because it can't be on her terms because then now I'm rejected by her. I can't handle rejection. My ego can't handle it.
Wait,
so I'm going to cheat.
But is that you on... with your addiction?
This was before the addiction. This was the thinking, like the, the.
But right, addiction is just a symptom. It's not an actual problem.
Yes.
Like, this is what, like, trauma and, like, like, whatever it is that your thing is the root of the problem. Addiction is just a symptom.
It is.
Like, and we all have addiction. Like, I have such a newfound empathy and love for addicts because you guys know my sister is is a struggling addict. And I used to fucking hate her. Like, I used to not. I used to, like, why the fuck? So much resentment, so much bitterness, so much, like, anger towards her. Like, why can't you just fucking figure it out? Like, why can't you just get over this? Until I realized I am also her. And
isn't that funny?
Am I screaming or am I?
No, you're good.
Oh,
sorry.
No,
until I realized I am also her.
Yeah.
And then I also realized that, like, it's not the problem. Her addiction is not her problem. Whatever she's battling inside of her, like, whatever self-loathing, self-worth, like, worthlessness, like, despair is the problem. And, but the only person who can fix that is you and God.
And it starts with push-ups. That's what I know.
Oh, my God.
No, it really does.
I'm done with her.
It does.
I have one more question for you, for real, though, okay? Look me in my eyeballs. If you were to talk to you, rock bottom Bella, because someone out there might be at rock bottom Bella right now. Someone might be, like, fucking not wanting to go on anymore and not know what the fuck to do. What would you say to her or them?
To me specifically, I'd say your feet will never end up anywhere where your mind wasn't already going. So why I would say that to me is because I would understand where, you know, where are my feet and where is my mind? And if it keeps going that way, it's my mind's going to end up where my feet are, hopefully. I don't want my feet to end up where my mind isn't. And it's kind of like one of those, are you playing more defense or offense things, you know? I would say basically that you have, you are so loved and so pre-thought about whether you believe it or not. I don't care if you believe it, but hey, talk about addiction. If I'm a gambler and my odds are, hey, when you die, are you going to, do you want to go here with the nice fancy lobster or you want to go here where everyone smells like BO and it's scary?
You would go BO.
I'm going to try to go for like...
The lobster.
The lobster, even though I don't even
I
like
want
lobster.
The lobster. I don't like lobster
please
either.
Is on a logical level, I would tell somebody that, you know, this is, any if you're down, if you're like rock bottom, face down, just scorpion down a hill, you have to know that you are so loved. And it sounds, people don't believe we're worthy of it at all.
You are you are a child of God with inherent worth and value.
And people need to hear it more. They need to hear it more because you can tell nobody's been hearing that enough. Because they don't believe it.
Do you think the smart feet, or the feet, as you just described it, is the going out of your comfort zone because your mind doesn't want you to go out of that comfort zone, and then the mind ends up following, and it for me, it's always, that wasn't that bad. And the fear of doing it for me, once I got sober and I was like, holy shit, I could do this. Oh my God, I could do this.
Right.
I could do that.
Right.
These are the things I used over symptom using, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a symptom.
And that's you.
And the core, why I'm using, is the fear, is the insecurity.
It's what the devil loves.
Yeah. Fear does not come from God.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's the author of confusion, or else we would have been made in the devil's image. We're not.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I believe. I don't care. You know.
That was said very beautifully.
Yeah, good job, guys. And you know what, Kevin? When you first said my name when I walked through this door, you know I got butterflies from the bottom of my stomach up to my throat when you just said my name?
I know, because I have a very soothing voice.
I feel like that
voice.
Every time he says my name,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. No, but I just... me and Kayla are always competing for no reason. What's up?
I am not competing with you.
Yeah, okay. No, he says my
time.
Name more butterfly-y. But no, what I'm saying is that's
your... You felt welcomed?
That's your sober voice, and that's the voice that you would have had if you could speak from your mother's womb. And that's you. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Mm-hmm. So stay you.
Yes.
It's me.
It's Kevin.
Me? Yes.
Hey, kids.
Mrs. Lanning's womb.
Wait, yeah. All right. So
I
have a question.
That's all I know,
this
say
is like
love.
The most effed up podcast
no, it's a
episode.
Beautiful.
That no, it's
this is like if.
All right. This is very important.
You're welcome.
And no, you can't come on my show.
She's definitely not going to invite us on.
No.
I'm mad.
Wait, so I have a question. So, okay, you have a girlfriend.
Yeah, Michelle.
Yep. So.
And my mom.
No, so.
It's my mom's name.
All right, for the young lesbians out there, what, were you always lesbian? Was it something you were very comfortable with? Always?
Yes.
Well, have you ever hooked up with a guy?
Oh,
are you allowed to share this?
That's all I did.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I did the guy.
And
I did that thing.
And I did guys.
You realize how horrible it was?
No, I'm more of a... Me and K-Rock were just talking about this the other night. It's a...
K-Rock is our other friend.
Yeah.
Little Kayla.
Okay.
We're basically dating too.
Okay,
but
cool.
Like, yeah, basically it's... emotion and intellect that I like. I don't care what's like anything else because I'm not, there might be TMI, but like, especially since my injury, like, I don't need to be having intercourse like 24/7. I'm good.
Yeah.
You have gotten outside of your body and realized that it's not the most important. The physical connection is not the most important
thing. No.
Exactly. I was just having this conversation with someone today.
But that's it. So that right there is wiped out. So if I were to speak to like young people who are just like, no, I like this tree, like that's okay. But you need to make sure that whoever's around you wants to make you like better you, not more like me. You know,
I like that.
That's
oh my gosh,
the thing.
That was good.
And that's something that Michelle is very, very just dear about because. We couldn't be any more like opposite in some things. And it's cool to see that actually like putting our foot down and being like, hey, I don't like when you say it like that. Like she'll say that to me or whatever. And I'm like, ah,
yeah.
But it's like, no, like that's a genuine human thing, Belle. I'm trying to make you a better person, not just to me. Like
mm-hmm.
you can't, you know, have that or vice versa. Like I need alone time. I just need to be alone. And that's so yeah. Girl, boy, muffin. I don't care.
Yeah. Mm. That's awesome.
Just give me the
connection.
And the good intent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Michelle's is awesome.
She's so funny.
She is.
My sisters
is.
Love her.
She's great. Mm-hmm. I mean.
My sisters love her.
They do. And my brothers. But
she's very nice.
No, she's the shit. That's my Michelle. So we have like, we call like, we're the wild women.
Wild
I don't even know how we became that, but we are.
Me
so
neither.
It's me, Bella, Michelle, who's my training partner and good friend. And then
K-Rock.
Little Kayla, K-Rock, who's also a fighter and best friend.
So
all four of us have like
who would win in a fight?
Me.
Me and Michelle versus you two.
Oh my god, we would fucking smoke them.
Wait, paralyzed really? Or not paralyzed?
No, now. Like tomorrow.
Bella.
Me and Michelle versus
I honestly
you two.
I feel like I would just let you take
You
them.
Could just get the yeah,
yeah,
you could yeah.
I'd just like be the cleanup
You'd
crew.
You'd be like yeah, the after vacuum.
I'd be like, "All right, well,
You'd be like,
let
I
me
can
drag
this
body out
no.
of here."
Well, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with
no,
that.
No, Bella is constantly head on a swivel, high alert, prepared at all times.
Violent.
And a tiny human with a lot of
strength.
anger. No,
when you believe in the good God I believe, you believe in what the other opposite is.
Stop taking, you're snatching bodies out there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm like Dexter.
All right, so
it was the heavy breathing after. I could hear it in my headphones. You're like, I'm like Dexter. I was like,
no, but I love Dexter.
Never saw it.
He's handsome.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
So
wait.
I want to understand, why are you always like on high? Why is the neck like? Why are you always on a swivel?
Well, because
head is always on a swivel.
My head's always been on a swivel, but I've been more calm about it because I know. Look at her.
Like, she looks.
Is it a feat to
right
just
now.
Someone break into your house when you were younger? Like what? What? Are you just like ready to roll?
I'm
going to
say
fight?
Two things. Boston bomber.
Oh, were you in Boston?
There's some things that happened that it was too close to my home.
Yeah.
And I'm talking
2013?
Yep.
2013, March.
So it was going into college. Yeah, that's when
I lived in the Back Bay.
Did you?
You
lived
there?
I lived on Newbury Street.
You know Maria lived on Newbury Street.
Shut the fuck.
No, she lived
really?
There for like 3 years. Yeah.
Anyways. I lived with Santos.
That was the year after I won the Olympics.
In the crack house. No,
dude, do you
want to? I'm kidding.
Can I tell you something so crazy here? Yeah. You just like jogged a huge thing in my memory. So,
yes.
Dude, that they asked me to come to the finish line because I had just won America's First Gold Medal. They asked me to come and like congratulate finishers.
No.
And I couldn't because I had training.
You never said that
to
me.
You would have been right there.
No, I lived a block away from where it all went down. Mm-hmm.
Well, so basically one night, the three nights before, there was two men speaking Russian outside of our house.
Oh, shit.
In our driveway, smoking a cigarette in the pouring rain. Flash forward to the manhunt. We're on the roof. I mean, we're in Upton. We're about half hour away from Watertown where they were. Long story long, gave the cigarette butt to the FBI.
Oh, shit.
They confirmed it the next summer. It was the little brothers. They were in our driveway.
What
and
the f-
they came.
French toast?
They came from Connecticut. They had it all down. They came from Connecticut. In order to get to Connecticut to Boston, you can only take like three roads.
Yeah.
Ours is one of the main ones you go. I'm telling you, that moment definitely made me a little psycho. And when I was little, too, finding like an old person dead, that'll do it to you. Because you immediately think, who shot him?
Yeah.
But he wasn't shot.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
No,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay. But that's why I think I am like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah.
It's wild.
Are you scared of people going to kill you at all?
I've had, I've had two break-ins into my house.
Oh, my gosh.
One in Albany, one in New York, in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't say, I was always like a, when I was young, I was a fighter because I always had something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say a fear, but when someone breaks into your house, I've always been like, oh, when someone breaks into my house, I'm going to beat the shit out of them. And the New York City, when someone came into my apartment, I came face to face with them. And
no, that's what I was just going to ask
it
you.
It was the most terrifying thing. Like, I'm 6'2", I'm over
that's
200
I mean.
Pounds,
yeah.
I'm in good shape. Like, I was still paralyzed
shaking.
With
yeah.
fear.
Yeah.
Because someone was in my
what did you do?
Safe place. Well, I stopped and I was just like looking at them. And the dude walked in. It was a very long hallway. I was probably 20 feet away from them. And I didn't even, I was in my underwear too.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I was looking good.
That's what I prepare for.
And I was the only one home. And this dude walked in. He took a couple steps and then like looked up. And we both just froze. And he was like, oh, I'm an Amazon delivery guy. I'm in the wrong apartment. And just walked out.
Holy
and I'm
shit.
Like, did I just, like,
yeah,
did
yeah,
I did
yeah.
I really just see that? And then all of a sudden, I was on the fifth floor, lived on the fifth floor. I hear him open up the stairwell door. Obviously, there's an elevator there as well, but he wanted to get the hell out of
exactly.
there as soon as possible. And I hear him, like, sprinting down,
oh, yeah.
like, skipping steps,
shut
jumping
up.
Down.
Yes.
And I'm like, he was definitely just broke into my apartment.
That's a reality, though. And I think that's what makes me always think of that, especially when I had my baby sister when I was little, and that's when it happened. And I just want to make sure that was good. That's why I'm a little crazy with her kids. Like, I'm always teaching them about things in
it's
a good
funny.
Way.
Funny. Yeah.
In a good way.
I'm so the opposite of that. Like, and I know that it's because... Like, I didn't have there. My boundaries as a child were crossed inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And so my thermostat for what's safe and what's not safe is totally fucked up. Like, it's not at this, like, my temperature, I can't read the same.
Right.
So, like, I never feel, like, what would freak you the fuck out?
Right.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, what are they doing here?
That's interesting.
Like, are they okay? Are they lost? Do they need help?
Caleb, I'm like, do you want coffee? Like, do you want to come in?
Yeah, no, it's like, it's fucked up. But
that's interesting.
What'd you bring me from Amazon?
No, that's right. Actually,
I was like, oh, I didn't order anything. Yeah. What is it? Here, bring me the box.
I always assume,
you know, like,
I assume worst case scenario. Like,
but I will say that becoming a mother has helped me a lot. Really? Not with myself, but like with my kids, dude, like it is crazy.
Have you ever had any incidents where you live or like fans or anything, someone come? Oh, you did.
I have. I mean,
I'm like,
I've had a stalker.
I'm like,
you know, it's 10:02. We got to go. We'll save that for another day.
Yeah, it's true. But no, in everything, I do know that even if I were to get a gun to my head, the last name I would proclaim is the God man, Jesus, because boom. Okay, what are my odds? I'll know right then and there. And when it happens to you, the way you go, the Lord calls you home, you'll know too. Mm. And if we're just floating nothings in space, sweet. Can't wait to be a floating nothing in space with you. If we're going to be angelic people running around, and I have no drop foot and I have no bladder issues and I'm just running around like pre-spinal cord Bella, but even better, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Mm. Why not?
The fear has been lifted.
Amen.
Boom.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank
Bella.
You so much, Bella.
You are the best.
That was fun, and we sweated
you.
A lot.
Yeah. I did too, dude. There were a couple moments.
I don't smell you guys.
No, there were like a couple games. Moments I got a little.
I like playing games with you, Kevin. We should do that again sometime.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, dude.
Well,
like you mean that game that I won?
Can I get invited to the next fire that
yeah.
you guys do?
Do you want to be a wild woman?
Oh, my God. Do you want to join our club and jump through the fire? Jump through the smoke?
1,000%.
I don't think he needs it.
I'll throw my daughter through it, too. Like,
no.
We'll go do it.
I think you need it.
No, I would really.
Or is this an adult
like
thing?
A positive affirmation. Like, you, like.
Strike a pose
yeah,
in the smoke.
Me? Yeah.
Also, we, like, write things that we want to release, and we throw them into the fire.
We're due for one of those.
What do you guys?
We so fucking.
What do I have to wear? Like
a butt flap.
What are you? Because we're women, you have to know what to wear.
No,
we just
no,
like
no,
we
no,
show
no.
up.
No, I want to show up and just like.
He's like, I want to come correct.
No, like what do I like? Do I run through it?
You just
he wants to know if we want to see his butt, I guess,
I
is
do.
What he's saying. I mean,
like in
I'm interested.
That
a banana
I would
hammock.
like a USA banana
because,
hammock.
But now right. then he's becoming like the entertainment for the wild women more than
yeah.
like becoming part of the wild
yeah.
women.
Yeah. If you could just strike a pose in the smoke, I would like that.
Okay. You could do your splits through the, above yeah. the fire.
I could figure something out. Just invite me.
Okay.
Smart feet. My feet will go and my mind
gosh.
Will follow, baby.
No,
exactly,
I do want to have you and Lumi over for a fire. We're probably going to do a bonfire this weekend.
We should. We have
be fun.
We have a lot to burn.
I'm around.
We have so much
oh,
to burn.
Oh, we know you have a lot to burn.
No, I have quite a bit to burn.
He does.
I'm like no, we will be fine if we lose electricity for a long time. We got plenty of eggs and plenty of chickens, and we got a lot of firewood.
That's why I feel safe with you. Yeah.
All right. I'm cutting it. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Love you.